Hurry in during Ram Truck Month, where you'll find J.D. Power's number one brand in new vehicle quality in 2021. And right now, get 0% financing for 72 months on 2022 Ram 1500 Bighorn and Laramie Crew Cab models. For 2021 J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Not compatible with any other offer. 0% APR financing for 72 months equals $1,389 per month per 1,000 financed for well-qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital, regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 5/2/22.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance movement. And starting with on the board, he's reliable. He's always there. We can count on Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. Have a good weekend. There and you it's go. Pledge he, week.
Yep. He's doing a good job. You do a good job. Did I tell you that?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. And last night he had a lot of company, but tonight he's all by himself. He's kind of lonely in the boiler room. Little Randy, he's radical, but tonight he's sad looking, and he's hoping that maybe, since he's by himself, that at least people will call and really call. And that's Radical Randy Gay. And by the way, the number to call, folks, is 888-281-1110 on this last night of Pledge Week. We got to do it tonight. We've got approximately 40 minutes right now. We got to cross it. We got to make it tonight. And we need your help, really. 888-677-9673. Well, she flutters and she sputters. She's a studio marm. She's a cute little lady with, like, huge feet. Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, get the big feet out of here. Go. No, wait. Wait. There you go. She wears my shoes, and they're size 14. Only kidding, folks. There you go. See, I have to do this because she expects me to say something like that, okay? She's waiting. She's wondering, what's he going to do tonight? Now, speaking of that, I have my two Johns, and these guys are men of stature, men of character, notable statesmen, John Holman and John McTernan. Are you there, fellas?
I am past 30, and I was holding my breath to see if you're going to comment on any of my anatomy. So.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. Okay.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, and the Lord's blessing.
And I do know one thing, yeah. And if I have to take my teeth out and set them on the table, I won't set them next to yours because you'll grab the best pair like you do. You've got a reputation. You don't know what to say now, do you?
No.
McTernan's laying low. He don't want to get into this.
No. I'm braced. I'm waiting, Pastor Ernie. You're in a rip roaring mood. This evening.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyhow, listen to this. My men of stature and character and notable statesmen. This is our last night. Last night we had a big night, and tonight We have to have a big night. Now, if we don't have a big night tonight, you do know that it's going to diminish your standing and your character and your status as noble statesmen. You know that, don't you?
That does a heavy load to carry.
Yeah, I know. But somebody has to do it. Now, here we go. You guys ready for this tonight? I got this email from a guy named Mike Turner, and he's from Michigan. And he says, hello. I can presume that Pastor Ernie Sanders is very busy and time can be a luxury, but I would just like to ask a question about Revelation chapter 13, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. According to this, does this beast, this suggest that the beast will make a graven image and then enforce the mark? Should all of this be taken in direct chronological order? Okay, we're going to answer that as we go through this. And he wants to know if he's going to force people to worship the beast and then take the mark of the beast. Now, people, as you go through this, you're going to see, Mike, that people will voluntarily worship the beast because he's going to do false miracles. And when he does false miracles, the very fact that they, by taking the number, that is showing worship. Am I right, John?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, this is not a political, well, it's somewhat of a political system, and it's not only economic, but it is spiritual, and taking the mark of the beast is like the initiation into worshiping the beast.
Now, you know, the point with Satan, what he tried to do, remember when Jesus was 40 days fasting in the wilderness, and Satan had the audacity to really, he wanted to control the world through Christ. He wanted to use Christ to control the world and do what he wanted and create whatever he wanted. So by doing that, who was it? We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who gives the orders? The Father gives the marching orders. The Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power, right? But Satan wanted to have a counterfeit of that. He wanted to have to make the Creator himself at his beck and call, didn't he?
He wanted to be the head honcho and Christ under him by submitting to him.
All righty. You know, I'll bet he was a Democrat. He had to be.
Certainly, yeah, that's...
Okay, let's start. Why don't you guys start in Revelation chapter 13, and why don't you read it, John McTurner, would you go read verses 1 through 9, and then you pick it up with verse 10 through 18, John Holman?
Sure.
That's okay. Revelation 13.
I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his 10 horns crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given over all, was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him
whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with sword must be killed with sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
What man do you think that was alluding to? Before you answer that, let me tell you, I got to get here. We haven't had a call yet. Oh, boy, this is not good. We haven't had one call. I'm in a panic now, okay? I should never have said anything about big feet or anything like that. I'm being punished. I've got the big feet. Pardon? Okay. Let's call the 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Or 888-281-1110. What number for the plastic tonight? The 281 number? Okay, there you go. Both of them, he says. So 888-281-1110. Now, where's that announcement I had to make? Okay, here it is. Don't forget to visit our website, wrwl.org, to view our sermons, listen to our radio shows, and sign up for our free newsletter. So that's out now. Looks like the phone lights are starting to light up, are they? Yep. The calls are coming in. Good. Now the calls are starting to come in, I can go on. And here, let's pick it up where we left off. So now here, you have three evil beings here, and that's what we call the unholy trinity, don't we?
Yes.
Satan is opposite of God the Father. The Antichrist is opposite of God the Son. The Holy Spirit is opposite of the false prophet, right?
Yep, you got it, Pastor Ernie.
And so we saw that, again, Satan's plan was trying to rule the earth by using the Lord Jesus. Now, here, you know, when you go down and here and you describe here in verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, what is the... The meaning of that coming up out of the sea indicates what? He comes out of what?
The Gentile nation.
So the Gentile nations are always referred to as the seas of the population, aren't they?
Yes.
And when he comes up out of the earth, then that means he's coming up out of where? A false prophet comes up out of the earth, right?
Yes.
So he's saying the false prophet's going to be an apostate Jew, right?
It's very possible, Pastor Ernie, coming up out of the earth, because there are two distinct comings of them. One is from the Gentiles, and where would the other one be?
Okay, from this. Now, let me ask you this here. Listen, And I stood up on the sand of the sea, saw a beast rise up, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and a dragon, and the dragon gave him the power and his seat and authority. Now, does that sound a whole lot like Daniel chapter 7 and also Daniel 12, 17? Well, here in Revelation 12, 17, huh? In Revelation.
It's right out of it, Pastor Ernie. I mean, it's coming right out of the description of having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns, 10 crowns. That's right out of the prophet Daniel.
Okay, so when we take a look at this, okay, let me stop for a minute here. Where do we start? Pledges, okay. Marilyn in Boston pledges 50. Thank you, Marilyn. Oh, that's Marianne. I'm sorry. Thank you, Marianne. All right. So, it's you know, it's a little hard to see. Sometimes I'm reading this off a screen. But there you go. So, thank you, Marianne. That's the first one for tonight. We're waiting for more. We are waiting. We gotta get more. You folks out there, think about John and John. Do you want their character diminished? I don't. And so you got to help us out. Huh?
They got to get that money pouring in because we have a good guest tonight.
That's right. We have one in about 10 minutes.
Russ Diamond is going to be here from Pennsylvania. So get that money coming in so we can get on with the show.
Yeah, because folks, okay, let's just sit here until the phone lines start ringing. We won't talk. No, I'm only kidding. We got to go on with the program. The show must go on, as they say. Now, here, of course, now we know that the Antichrist is a false Messiah, and it's just we just mentioned it before. And is he going to stage a false resurrection? I mean, does he do everything, you know, of everything that Christ did, he does false, the miracles and everything, don't he?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, he's counterfeit.
Yeah, the Bible calls it. Excuse me, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, the Bible calls it, Pastor Ernie, lying signs and wonders.
All right. We have some new pledges that just came in. Let me tell you this. Lisa and Brad in Virginia pledged 100. Peter and Sharon in Canada pledged 500. Thank you, Peter and Sharon. Thank you, Lisa and Brad. And Wanda and Linda in Cleveland pledged 200. All right. Thank you. We got it. Folks, we're starting to get on a roll. We got to keep rolling. We can't let these people be diminished. All right. Here. I'll tell you what I'll do. If those phone lines keep ringing, when little Lisa brings the amount in that we need, I'm going to apologize for her for saying she had big feet. What do you think, Craig? Do you think that's a good idea? And I'm going to say that I have big feet instead, right? Okay, that's fair. There you go. I'll do that. Now, here, the power that was given to the beast will be... the power given to the beast will be A, unlimited, or B, limited by God.
Limited.
You know...
doesn't have on power.
Okay. Isn't that going to be kind of frustrating when you know that your enemy has the power to limit what you can and can't do?
I think with me, yes.
So let me ask you this. Now, we're out there with everything we've just been telling people. For how many years have preachers been preaching what we're preaching tonight?
Well, my experience, I don't know that a lot of teaching on Revelation took place. I know I taught on it years ago, but what about you, John?
John, you were preaching this back in the 50s? Yeah,
Pastor Ernie, hang on here. I've got my little dog was not put away, and my wife is apparently coming home, and the dog is going to go crazy, so I don't want your listeners to hear this howling and crying, so I might have to mute myself. So, but Pastor Ernie, it's when you look at, you go back to verse one and you get into the heads and the 10 horns and the crowns and all, he is in one sense, he's going to be given like unlimited power on earth. He doesn't have the power of God, but he is going to have all authority. That's what that's saying, Pastor.
Yeah, but even with that, though, there's still going to be limited on what he could do. God holds the reins on what he's going to be able to do here. But here's my question to you, though, and I hope you get it right. That would be, while this has been preached, like we're preaching it tonight, for millennium, people have been preaching this, and yet people are going to run to this Antichrist, even though everyone, you know, we're telling you and telling you and telling you, and they're going to run to this Antichrist, and they're going to worship him, gladly do that. And do you think that, you know, now this is going to be happening after the rapture takes place. One group of people that will be left here and probably diminished, not diminished by any means, would be those in what is called the mainstream media. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, they'll be leading the charge for him, Pastor.
And so they'll be out there promoting this is the Messiah, won't they? And so
24/7, you know, all his these lying signs and wonders, they'll all be shown over and over and over again. Yeah, they'll be blown up and he'll be promoted big time.
Okay. So here now, the second beast, you know, comes out. And again, we know that the false prophet, he is going to try to imitate the Holy Spirit, isn't he?
Absolutely.
And so here, he's going to perform miracles, but are they going to be actual miracles or are they going to be counterfeit miracles?
Well, signs. Counterfeit,
right.
Yeah.
Right, Pastor Ernie. you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, with all lying signs and wonders.
Okay, so when did we see early on in the days of Moses before in Egypt? We saw kind of a prelude to that. We saw Moses threw down his staff, and then he was challenged by two of the false prophets, the magicians, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
So what was the real miracle? Was the miracle that Moses' staff turned into a serpent? Or was the miracle that the false prophets, that their staff turned to serpents? Or was the real miracle the fact that Moses' serpent consumed the other two? And that showed, what was the purpose of that, and what did it prove?
Well, that Moses was done by God and had all power over the lying signs and wonders.
Okay. Rose in Long Island pledges 100. Thank you, Rose. Linda in San Diego pledges 100. Okay. There you go. Thank you. We got to keep it coming, folks, because right now we have about 1 hour and 20 minutes. I have an hour and 20 minutes. We got to raise up enough money to stay on for the next entire month, okay? So, John and John, I know that... you guys have often liked my singing a lot, and it pleases me to be able to play my songs. But I got some other songs that I like even better, and we're gonna be playing one here. And this is some songs that I haven't played in a long, long time. And this is from my old buddy Carl Klang. And do you remember him, John?
No, I don't, Pastor Ernie.
Well. Anyhow, we're going to play a song, but wait a minute. Here comes little Lisa. She's got a little Lisa. I'm sorry I said that you had big feet. You don't have big feet.
Oh, that's okay.
There you go. There you go. Maturin does. He's got like huge feet. He's been to my house with like those huge feet.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but anyhow, we need right now, is that the number?
Yeah, the bottom, yeah, 1,000.
Okay, so we need right now 500 and, or no, we need 4,950. 4,950. Right now, we've got to raise 4,950. Do you guys want to, try to split that number up between the two of you?
No, Holman can take it all.
Okay, very... crickets. All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. This land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
Yeah. Yeah, we were singing that, I believe, back before 9/11. Anyhow, I wanted to take this time to give our most sincere condolences to Mrs. Al Fletcher and her family and their friends. We prayed for Al the other night, and I talked to Al. He called me and he said, "I'm really sick, Pastor." And I think he was trying to ask me to do his funeral. Of course, that's not, you know, it's not up to me. It's up to his family. But anyhow, Al was saying that he's saying, I just wish the Lord would take me. I'm so tired of being sick, and I just wished he would take me now. But anyhow, you know, so what we do with it's always the Lord's call, and we always ask and we pray for him. He asked us to pray for him, and we prayed for the Lord's what God's perfect will is. And sometimes that perfect will means it's time for you to go, and other times, no, you're not finished with your work here. And I know that for myself and McTernan and Holman, we got to keep going until we get it done. And so, but anyhow, again, our most sincere condolences for all of Al Fletcher's family. He died this morning. Okay, we have Russ Diamond with us. Are you there, Russ Diamond?
I am. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay tonight. I've got your two buddies on here with me, McTernan and Holman.
Okay.
And, boy, they're hard to keep under control, but we're managing. All right, there you go. So you are making a run for lieutenant governor there in Pennsylvania. You guys do it different than we do it here, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Here in Pennsylvania, the governor candidates run against each other, and the lieutenant governor candidates run against each other in the primary. And it's kind of like it ends up, and then in the fall, then those two candidates, the lieutenant governor nominee and the governor nominee, are tied together on a single ticket. So it's kind of like an arranged marriage where the voters are the matchmaker.
So you can have a Republican governor or a Democrat and the opposite with a lieutenant governor.
No. It doesn't work that way. The two Republicans are tied together and the two Democrats are tied together on a single ticket. So then it's the Republicans versus the Democrats in the fall.
We have a whole slew of people here in Ohio running for governor. How many candidates do you guys have there in Pennsylvania?
We have 9 candidates for governor on the Republican side, only 1 Democrat. In the lieutenant governor's races, we have 9 candidates for lieutenant governor on the Republican side and 3 candidates for lieutenant governor on the Democrat side.
Well, boy, that's going to – I don't know. Sometimes I've seen some situations here where we've got some rhinos in office, and especially for Congress, and people are running against them in a primary, but all they're going to do – is they're going to split the votes up, and the rhinos are going to stay in office because somebody needs to say, you know what, we can't, you know, if we all stay in this, we're going to lose. And so,
well, yeah, here's what happens. I mean, this is not that situation because our governorship is an open seat this year because our governor is term limited out. Our governor is gone no matter what. So
great. That's good. To me, that's good news.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's an open seat. But you're right. I mean, sometimes you get when you have an incumbent that you don't like, then you'll have a lot of people line up to run against them for the same reason. And what happens, and here's what's common about these two situations, is that sometimes people allow their egos to take over, and even though they're not doing very well in the polls at all, they'll just stay in stubbornly. And they won't, you know, congeal together behind one candidate who can, in fact, beat the incumbent. Or here in Pennsylvania, in our governor and lieutenant governor and even our Senate race, where we have, I believe, 6 candidates, or maybe 7, just people just don't they don't see the light of day and that they're not doing well in the polls and that it might just be better to congeal around one candidate.
All righty. Well, I know why, you know, why you're running. I know what you stand for, and I think the people out there really need to know what you stand for. But let's go. I've got to give the numbers out because this is pledge week, and we really have to raise some money. 888-281-1110. Folks, the lines have become dead again. They're quiet. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. You got to call in. Now, we know that on all of the different positions that, we support as Christian patriots, you're right there. So tell the folks out there in Pennsylvania where you stand are, starting from A to Z on abortion.
Oh, well, from you know, on abortion, I'm very clear. I am 100% pro-life, and I believe that life begins at conception and ends at natural death. There's no question about that. You know, we have a lot of different issues in history in Pennsylvania that have been kind of bellwethers on that issue. We had in 1992 the one major Supreme Court case that modified Roe v. Wade came out of Pennsylvania. That was Casey versus that was the Casey case. We had the Gosnell. The Gosnell case in Pennsylvania.
Monster.
Absolute monster. And as a result of that, we were able to, this was before I was in office, the General Assembly was able to elevate the sort of inspection procedures of these abortion clinics to the point of other health clinics, which you would expect, right? But they weren't there, and we did elevate them. And since that time, 20 abortion clinics have closed in Pennsylvania, and that, in my mind, saves countless lives, right?
Praise the Lord for that. That dirty money is why they didn't have to meet the same standards as right. real clinics. Dirty money.
Right, right. So I mean, that's what allowed the Gosnell I don't know any other word to put on it except Holocaust. That's what allowed that to happen. And, you know, here in Pennsylvania, we've got a very conservative, pro-life kind of majority in the House of Representatives and somewhat so in the Senate. So we are able to pass the heartbeat bill out of the General Assembly. We are able to pass a bill that, you know, reduces the cutoff point from 24 to 20 weeks out of the General Assembly. But we have not had a governor who would be willing to sign those bills. And that's why, part of the reason why I'm running for lieutenant governor, because we need an executive branch that is strong on this issue, just like the General Assembly is. So hopefully, you know, in November, we'll have a Republican governor elected. And Republican lieutenant governor elected, perhaps it'll be me, and that governor will sign those bills into law. We also passed a bill, the Down syndrome bill, which was very, very, very near and dear to my heart because I had, you know, I had an aunt who was, she lived to be 82 years old. She passed away 2 years ago, and she was the pride and joy of our family. She taught us what pure love and pure joy meant. Really had an impact on me as a child, her existence. And so we did pass the Down syndrome bill here in Pennsylvania. But again, we didn't have a governor who would sign it. In fact, our governor here was an escort for Planned Parenthood. And, you know, it's just crying shame that we can't, you know, we don't have a governor right now who will actually stand up and protect life. And in fact, a governor who will proudly proclaim that abortion is health care. Abortion is not health care.
Well, you know, God's word, the Bible says, unless he repents of that, and I mean repents of that, he is going to burn in hell. And that's what God has said. See, I know a lot of people out there listening say, well, wow. But you see, that's what God has said. And, you know, does God always do what he says he'll do?
I believe so.
all of the time. Now, and you know, in Pennsylvania, you guys were known for extreme election fraud, extreme, especially in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And so, but anybody, any politician that would stand up, and I know you were one that stood up and came out and said, this is election fraud, but you would be attacked by the vulturist mainstream media, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we work. I mean, look, we, myself and my compatriot representative here in Lebanon County, Frank Ryan, and a number of other, I think it was 15 other legislators, we signed off on a very, very in-depth report. I believe it was December 28, 2020, regarding some anomalies, shall we say, that we found in election results, and we are still excoriated for it. Simply for pointing out that the numbers didn't add up. But look, we've come, it's been a year and a half now. And there are things that we still can do here in Pennsylvania. I happen to be the prime sponsor of a bill. It's House Bill 1717, which would be a constitutional amendment to get rid of this no excuse mail-in voting once and for all by constitutional amendment. I do believe that in Pennsylvania, we should do what a good friend of mine calls vote Amish. And that is all paper ballots marked by hand, counted by people, not machines, counted by people at the precincts on election night so that we can be confident that our results are not being changed or not accurately reported by those centralized machine counting devices. So again, you know, all paper ballots marked by hand, counted by people at the precincts with, of course, voter ID being shown by every single voter who shows up.
Now, where I go to vote, we have paper ballots, but we do have Dominion is still right here in Ohio.
Yeah, and most places in Pennsylvania do have paper ballots that are marked by the voter. But they're still scanned by machines and tabulated by machines. I believe the tabulation should be done by human beings. And, you know, if we have to put on a second shift to count on election night, I'm okay with doing that.
You know, I know even some Democrats who would like to have that. There's some of those that the election fraud was unbelievable. But we knew that was going to happen on November 3rd of 2016 when Trump had won the election. Right after that very night, we and John, you guys remember, we said that the 2020 election would set records. It would be the greatest amount of election fraud in the history. And boy, were we right, weren't we?
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. Is that it was before 2020. It was Democrats who were screaming about these machines.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Hillary!
Yeah. But all of a sudden, when they were the beneficiaries, you know, these machines were perfectly fine. It was, the common line. I was on the House State Government Committee, and we held tons of hearings on what happened in 2020 in the early stages of 2021, we had hours and hours of testimony from dozens of witnesses. And the Democratic chair of that committee's favorite saying was, this is a free, fair, and secure election, freest, fairest, and most secure election in history. And it's like, yeah, but 4 years ago, y'all were saying something different.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says all liars will have their place in a lake of fire, and that was one heck of a lie. It was one great big lie. Now, Mark Zuckerberg says he's not going to spend $400 million to rig the election this year. Do you believe him?
Well, Well, that's because it's not a presidential year. You know, we've got some governorships on the ballot, and you know, there are a lot of most all the congressional seats are on the ballot. We've got some U.S. Senate seats on the ballot, but you know, it's not a presidential year, and that's a real problem here in Pennsylvania. Is that despite every effort of us in the General Assembly to make that sort of private investment in an election administration illegal, the governor will sign it. Once again, you know, the state Senate did actually, I believe it was last week or the week before, actually did pass a bill making that kind of private funding of election administration, which, let's admit it, it was just a get-out-the-vote effort for Joe Biden. But our state Senate did pass a bill, a single kind of single subject bill just on that, to make that illegal. And if it comes over to, you know, it'll come over to the House, and I'm sure we'll pass it too, but we have this governor who won't sign anything that even closely remotes election integrity in Pennsylvania.
He is a very, very wicked man. Do you think we'll ever have justice for what took place in your nursing homes there? When the killing off of the elderly?
I don't believe so, because it would take a prosecutor to do that. And unfortunately, our prosecutor is also a Democrat, and he wants to be our next governor.
Well,
so I don't think anybody will be held accountable for that. And, you know, even if he doesn't win governor, he'll be attorney general for two more years.
Well, you know, I could tell you, I the people in Pennsylvania would have to be extremely stupid and sinful to elect that guy. I mean, they would just have to be extremely stupid and sinful to elect that guy. Now, here, I don't know why the two Johns are so silent, why they're not asking you any questions. And well, let me ask you this real quick before they start talking. If either one of those two were running for office, would you vote for him?
Team John? Well, I believe I would. I believe they're both
funny,
fine
I'm
gentlemen.
The experienced one.
Yeah, I would too, because they're both very, very pro-life. But go ahead. So, you fellas, you better, especially you, Holman, you're still in Pennsylvania.
I'm deep enemy lines, Pastor Ernie. And, I'd like to ask Russ a question. Sure. So, what sets you off, makes you different, and why should people vote for you from... You know, you said there was eight other candidates, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, what sets me apart is, you know, the people of Pennsylvania know me, and look, the first step is to win the election, right? So, in order to do that, you need to have a candidate on the ballot that people are familiar with, and that they can get excited about, because that candidate has been standing up for them for at least for the last 2 years through the pandemic. I mean, I was the first one to suggest we shut down the governor's disaster emergency. I was the first one to protest against mask mandates. I was the first one to talk about the long-term effects of mitigation measures in our school on children's academic and developmental progress. I was the first to propose bills in Pennsylvania against vaccine mandates. I was one of the first. I sued these counties that were taking those Zuckerbucks. I sued them in September 2020, before the election even happened. So I've been there for the people, and the people recognize that. So that's going to help us win the election. Then after the election, you need somebody who can help the new governor form a relationship with the General Assembly. And the only way you can form a relationship is to know the members of the General Assembly. There's no one else in the race who is a current member of the House or the Senate, and has those kind of current relationships with current legislators. Because that really is the key to success in Pennsylvania. It's forming a bond between the legislative and executive branches. And look, it's just like when you do business. You don't do business with strangers. You don't do business with people you don't know. You like to do business with people you're comfortable with. So I can help the governor hit the ground running, because the truth of the matter is, because of our two-year election cycle for the House of Representatives, you really only get like the first 6 months of that new term to really get anything bold done. After that, the boldness wears away because you get closer to election time. And so you got that first 6 months. that governor's going to have to hit the ground running. So he's going to need a partner who can introduce him around and key him in on, hey, this is this legislator's personality. We can get them to, you know, kind of take on this issue. We can get this other one to take on this issue, and we can get a team going, kind of like a train, you know.
Russ, I got to jump in for 1 minute and give the phone numbers out. We want to say John in Cleveland pledges 100. Thank you, John. Folks, listen, we got to hear from you. We have got now 55 minutes left, to raise enough money to, and I don't know where we're at now, but anyhow, it's 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. This is very, very serious tonight, folks. And so we need to be able to bring you programs like tonight and bring candidates like Russ Diamond, who this man he's known to doing what he says he will. He's the kind of candidate, folks out there listening to us, that Christian patriots would want to vote for. He's that kind of candidate. So anyhow, give us a call. Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, people in Pennsylvania, I know we're heard in Philadelphia, and that station carries way out here in the boondocks where I can hear them up in the deep forest of Perry County. So we have a large listening audience. Come on, Pennsylvania, pour that bill in. We need it.
Right.
Yeah, Russ, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Yeah, Russ, the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's lawless. It's like an anarchist. Is there any way it can be brought the best case scenario, you're elected and a governor that is, you know, for real. Can this Supreme Court be brought under control?
You know, to some extent, simply electing a Republican governor and a lieutenant governor will help bring that Supreme Court a bit under control, because what we've seen over the last, I'm going to say, 7 years since the Democrats took over our Supreme Court, is that our governor is willing to take just about every issue that he disagrees with the General Assembly on to the Supreme Court, and kind of uses the Supreme Court as his personal legal counsel to get his own way. But a Republican governor who's working in tandem with the General Assembly probably won't do that, and probably won't do things that will even get the courts involved. So I think there will be some mitigation of that just by simply electing a Republican governor and having the legislature and the executive branch working in tandem together to advance Pennsylvania and turn the ship state around. That said, that Democratic majority, which was elected, we have 7 Supreme Court justices. 3 of them were elected in 2015, and they serve 10-year terms, and they go. They don't run a contested election for re-election. They run a retention vote, which is a simple yes-no vote. Do you want to keep this judge or not? So those 3 who were the egregious people making decisions, you know, for the last few years, they'll be up for retention in 2025, and that's right around the corner. And that's an easy campaign to run to say, just vote no. In fact, we did that here in Pennsylvania. I spearheaded an effort in 2005 against 2 Supreme Court justices who were on the ballot for retention. We nearly knocked both of them out. We knocked one out. It was the first time it ever happened in Pennsylvania history. It was a fairly simple campaign to run because the people of Pennsylvania were angry. I think it would be a little bit more difficult because you need kind of a seminal one egregious action for people to get angry about in order for them to get motivated. But I think it would, running a no vote no campaign in 2025 against these 3 Democrats would be a relatively easy task, you know, to get them out so that we could elect fresh new justices to the Supreme Court. And then, of course,
okay, Russ, hang on right there. We're up against a hard break. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more.
Fight the fight. Keep the stand. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left.
the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.